Now I would invite Judy Kinnison to share our scripture, just from John chapter 11.
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew they may believe that you sent me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him.
One of the questions that comes up in times of crisis, like we're going through right now, is where is God in such a time as this? And what does our faith mean for us as we go through this time? I think this story has something to offer, because this is a story about sickness and dying. It's a story about grief and loss, but it's also a story of faith and hope. If you read the whole chapter, which was actually the reading, was the entire chapter, Jesus and his disciples were far away when they got the news that Lazarus was sick. Mary and Martha the sister sent the message. Lord, the one you love is sick. And it was a cry for help and a reminder to him that Lazarus was a dear friend. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived in Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem. And in all four of the Gospels, it's very clear that Jesus was really close with them, good friends. And when he and his disciples would come to Jerusalem, they would stay with them in Bethany. But right before this story, Jesus had escaped, run away from Jerusalem because there were threats against his life. There were people who were trying to stone him and others trying to arrest him. And so he had escaped and gone across the Jordan River to the edge of the Judean wilderness where John the Baptist had done his ministry. And there other people had still come to him and were believing in him. But then he got this message. Lazarus is sick. But the story tells us that Jesus did not go immediately. He kept doing his ministry there with the people for two more days. The old King James Version says he tarried. He waited. He did not immediately respond. Can you feel the weight of that? And does it touch anything in you? Anger or grief? Doubt? What do we feel when we're crying for help and nothing seems to happen? I think we all know those moments when it feels like nothing is happening no matter how hard we ask. Those times when we've cried out in prayer, but it seems like God is doing nothing. We may even feel like we're living in one of those times right now. This story captures one of those moments. Mary and Martha were hoping and praying that Jesus would come, hoping he could save their brother's life. But Jesus waited. He did not come immediately. The way John writes it, Jesus did this deliberately. John seems to be claiming that Jesus had it all figured out, that he knew this illness was not going to lead to death and was meant to bring God glory. Sometimes I think John's gospel works so hard to make sure we understand that Jesus is the Christ, the only Son of God, the Logos or the Word who was from the beginning with God, that sometimes John is working so hard to make the point that Jesus is divine, that in John's gospel we can almost miss the full humanness of the man Jesus. But the other gospels help balance that out. They show that part much more clearly. And I think we have to hold that sense of Jesus as human in tension with the claim that Jesus was divine. Because I don't think the man Jesus was omniscient, that big word to say all-knowing. I don't think the human Jesus was certain about all the time, about what was coming next. Because otherwise, his tears a little later in the story, or his struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he died, would seem like a show instead of the deep, painful struggle that we see in the Gospels. So my belief in incarnation gives me a Jesus who was very human, like us. A man who chose to try to do what he believed was God's will in the best ways he knew, but one who had no 20/20 vision of the future. So in this moment, he had a sense that he should wait, that God had some purpose here, that the time wasn't right, and so he waited. Jesus lived his whole life trying to follow God's will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so he waited, even though I think he must have longed to go rush to be with his friends. He must have wanted to go right then to Bethany and try to heal Lazarus. But some sense of God's purpose held him back. And then only after he knew that Lazarus was dead did he tell his disciples, okay, now it's time to go. they must have thought he was crazy. Why risk going to Jerusalem now, where you almost got killed, if Lazarus is already dead? Rabbi, they said, they were trying to stone you, and you want to go back? And then when they saw he was determined, Thomas, the one who later gets labeled as the doubter, Thomas was the one here who showed courage. He said, okay, let's go with him. At least if he's going to die, we can die with him. And so they made the trip back to Bethany. And by the time they get there, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. The funeral was long over because that would have happened within 24 hours. And according to Jewish beliefs of that time, a dead person's spirit might sort of stay close for about 3 days. But by day 4, the spirit was totally gone. Commentator Peter Woods makes this comment that when Jesus arrived on the 4th day, he arrived on the day that was beyond all hope. All through Scripture, the 3rd day is the day that God acts. But Jesus arrived on the hopeless day, the 4th day. Lazarus was gone, hope was gone, and all that was left was mourning and grief. And Jesus then showed up. So it's no wonder that both Mary and Martha had this mixture of both grief and accusation in their voices. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus had come too late. They believed he could have healed Lazarus, but he had not shown up in time. Jesus said to Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha's answer seems almost dismissive, like, okay, I know he'll rise again at the resurrection of the last day. Of course, she seemed to be saying, I know, someday, but you could have saved him if you had been here. It seems like Martha wanted to manage Jesus, to tell him what he should have done. But Jesus answers her, I'm the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, those who trust in me, those who abide in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who trusts in me will never die. These are verses we read at funerals and memorial services, words of faith for life beyond this life. We hear them as a promise of the afterlife, a word of hope for after we die. And that hope is important. It's vital when we face our own dying and the dying of those we love. We have seen and known it, as Louise shared a little while ago, the peace that can come even in the midst of our grief. It's a beautiful and powerful thing, a certainty in the midst of everything being turned upside down, a peace in the middle of grief and loss. It's a peace we need now in these days we are living, a trust that no matter what may happen, we and all those we love are held by God's love. But this story, I believe, also challenges us to belief, to trust in more than just life after death. This story calls us to hope for the here and now. It challenges us to faith that helps us deal with the struggles and threats of life while we're alive. Commentator William Loder writes, the point of Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life. The point of this whole story is to make the claim that people who believe, who trust in Jesus find life, eternal life. It is timeless, yeah, but the focus is the quality of life. It is the sharing of life with God here and now and forever. But this life that we can know is not life built on faith in a God who fixes all our problems or protects us from all threats. It's not belief in a miracle-working God who will do what we want. That's not the God shown to us by Jesus. Jesus came to Mary and Martha in the midst of their mourning, and when he saw their grief, he was deeply disturbed and deeply moved too. Jesus felt their pain, and he joined in their sorrow. Jesus wept with them. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. And they said, "Lord, come and see." And they took him to the tomb. This reminded me of a story I heard two men tell who were missionaries I knew in Bangladesh. In 1970, some of you may remember, there was a terrible tidal wave that swept across the southern part of what is today Bangladesh. Then it was East Pakistan. That whole area is flat and wide, the end of the river Ganges Delta, and the huge tidal wave swept in for miles. And these two missionaries were two of the very first people to manage to get their car in close enough to find survivors. What Jim McKinley and R.T. Buckley found were villages that were totally flattened, carcasses of animals and humans, and survivors. Stories about hanging on to the branches of trees for hours while the wave swept in and then sucked things back out again. Jim and R.T. didn't have much to offer. They had brought some blankets and some clean water, but it didn't go very far. But what the survivors said to them, what the survivors wanted again and again, was for them to come and see. Grown men took them by the hand, just wanting them to come see the bits of debris, which was where their houses used to be, the tree where they had hung on to stay alive. Come and see. Come and join us in our suffering. Come and witness our loss. That's what they wanted. They needed someone to be with them, someone to be present with them in their grief. That's what Jesus did here for Mary and Martha. And I believe that is what God in Christ does for us all. But then standing there in front of the tomb, Jesus again felt this powerful movement of his spirit. He was greatly disturbed, deeply moved, whatever we want to call it. He had this sense that God's spirit was prompting him. And so Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, ever practical, down-to-earth Martha, argued with him, "Lord, it's been 4 days. The body will smell." But Jesus insisted, urging her to believe, to trust. And they rolled the stone away. Then Jesus prayed out loud, being sure everyone heard him. So they knew for sure this was God's power, not his own. He took the risk. He dared to ask the impossible out loud in front of everybody. "Lazarus, come out." There must have been a moment there when everyone held their breath. Total silence, caught between hope and disbelief. And then the dead man walked out, his body still wrapped in burial clothes, but alive, walking, brought back from the dead. In John's gospel, this story of the raising of Lazarus is the ultimate sign performed by Jesus before his own death. This is the final act where Jesus revealed who he was. And it is, of course, a great foreshadowing of what is coming for Jesus. These events actually set the plot in motion. Some of the people who saw the raising of Lazarus go back to the religious leaders, and they are so concerned by the power and influence he is having over the people that they begin to plot his death. But Jesus walks the path of self-emptying, of self-giving love, straight from this day toward his own dying. This story leads us to the cross. And I believe the cross here is revealed as Jesus' act of total and ultimate compassion, the act of total love, God's total identification with us, God's atonement, God's at-one-ment with us. Jesus had the power of God, the power to raise a man from the dead, this story claims. The power to call 10,000 angels to save him, scripture says. But he did not use his power to serve himself or to save himself. Jesus walked the path of total oneness with us, total unification, total love. In Christ Jesus, we believe that God joined fully with us, became one of us, entered into our experience of brokenness, of loss and grief, of suffering and even death. In Isaiah's words, Jesus was the suffering servant, a man of sorrows acquainted with deepest grief, who has borne our griefs and carried our diseases. The pain of our brokenness is on him. In Christ, God embraces us. God joins in our pain and suffering, our fear, our anxiety, our uncertainty. God becomes one with us. Jesus was a man like us, limited, finite, subject to every pain and sorrow that we know. He had to walk by faith just like us. He had to face suffering, loss, and grief. And he showed us the way through. The way to live and the way to die, the way of love and compassion for each other, the way of hope and faith, even in the midst of fear and suffering, even in the face of sickness and death. Jesus gave himself, all of himself, to call us into life. We are all Lazarus, the story says. We are all being called forth out of whatever tombs might hold us. Jesus calls us to life, eternal life, abundant life, here and now and forever. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, who trust in me, who abide in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and trusts in me will never die. Amen.